You know, everything goes back to our thoughts. Everything. Everything. It really can be easy. It starts with having thoughts that line up with truth, that feels good. Myth number one, everything happens for a reason. Yes, everything does happen for a reason. And there are specific reasons that cause everything to occur, even when we don't know what they are specifically. So when the reason is not understood, it is common to simply accept the circumstances as is, thinking that there's some cosmic reason behind it, and then they go on. Thus, it remains unexplainable, yet accepted. This kind of thinking breaks my heart because it shows a foundational misunderstanding many have regarding the co-creative dance of life. There's nothing that occurs in our experience that we don't play a part. We co-create everything. But if you aren't aware of your part, you are powerless over the circumstances. But when you have an understanding of the science behind thought energy, you gain a better perspective of how your thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes affect everything in your life. Everything that shows up in your life experience shows up as a result of your thinking. The laws of the universe respond to what you are broadcasting vibrationally. You broadcast vibrational signals based on the quality of your feelings. So whatever you're focusing on thought-wise has a feeling associated with it. And that feeling has a vibrational quality. And that vibration is broadcast into the universe. Because you can't see the thought vibration being broadcast, you may not be aware of it. However, there are many things we can't see that we know exist, such as cell phone reception or Wi-Fi. We can't see it, but we know when it's there, and we know when it's not. One of the universal laws is the law of attraction, and the law of attraction is continually matching vibrations of like quality. So when something occurs in your life, it's as a result of the law of vibration, matching your thought vibration with a nearby vibration. The reality is, yes, everything does happen for a reason, but it happens the way it does because it matched your thought vibration. It doesn't mean that it was meant to happen. It was simply a match. So the next time something happens that you don't immediately see the cause that produced that outcome, consider questioning what thought vibrations you'd been broadcasting. Consider exploring your thinking, beliefs, and attitudes around that outcome. There are always clues, so follow the breadcrumb trail. Myth number two, you can't change reality. How many times have you heard lately, it is what it is? This phrase or belief has crept into our society as a common saying in the past number of years. I first recall learning it from Byron Katie. By the way, she's a female, not a male, as you would suspect based on her name. In her powerful process called The Work, the original idea behind this phrase had to do with this. When we try to argue with what is, we're fighting an uphill battle. The phrase, it is what it is, when understood in the way Byron Katie presented it, is incredibly powerful. She recommends that when you allow yourself to stop what you're doing and accept that in any given moment, what is going on is what is going on. She's suggesting that we don't deny, reject, or resist it. And when you get present, or just be, with what is, you relinquish the fight, which creates a pleasantly neutral state. When you get present and stop fighting with what is, it allows you to feel centered and calmed. However, as this phrase has been adopted by mainstream society, it seems that the original intent of the phrase, it is what it is, has morphed into a less powerful meaning. It seems that it has come to mean that you can't change reality, that reality has the final word. We are at the effect of reality, and that we are powerless to reality. The current understanding has come to mean we can't change our reality because, after all, it is what it is. Which is completely not true. You certainly can change your reality. You are actually the creator of your reality, and your thoughts are the generators of that which you create. At this point, Those that are unwilling to accept their powerful role in their reality will argue by bringing up the most horrific tragedies known to mankind. But since my intention is to empower you, let's agree to set those ugly situations on a mental shelf where they can be taken down once a thorough foundation of how we were intended to live has been laid. When you truly take ownership of your power and your role as creator of your reality, life as you know it becomes manageable and sane. For each individual, reality is different. We each grew up with different influences, environments, and teachings. Then throw into the mix our diverse personalities and purposes, we each see and experience the world uniquely. It can be said that no two people will view the same situation the same way. Each of us has our own set of unique filters that determine our perspectives and how we interpret a given situation. It can be said that based on our particular internal filters, we skew what is to fit our image of what we believe. Thus, in a sense, reality is just your imagination. We make it up based on what thoughts, beliefs, and values we hold as true. And what is true for you is not the same as what is true for someone else. Doesn't this offer some new perspective on how there are so many miscommunications between people? Therefore, anytime you change your point of view on a given subject, it changes how you perceive your reality. And thus, you've actually changed your reality. Often, your point of view is changed because you've gathered new information or came to understand someone else's point of view, which ultimately changes your perspective. And when a new perspective is held, how you see and experience the world changes, and the old reality has shifted to a new and different reality. Based on your willingness to shift your perspective by taking in new information, reality is yours to change. Myth number 3, I'll feel better once my circumstances change. When you have a great job where you're appreciated, it's easy to feel good. When your romantic partner surprises you with an impromptu weekend vacation, it's easy to feel good, assuming that you like surprises. When you can fit into your skinny jeans, it's easy to feel good. When you're having a good hair day, it's easy to feel good. When all the lights are green, it's easy to feel good. But what if you hate your job, your romantic partner isn't so awesome anymore, and your clothes are all too tight? Do you have to wait until all of these things get resolved before you can be happy? The answer is a resounding no. When situations in your life aren't the way you want them to be, it's common to think you have to wait for things to change toward the positive before you can feel good again. So it's common to believe you need to do something to fix these situations before you can be happy, causing you to do everything you can think of to resolve these issues. And while you're working hard to resolve these issues, you unconsciously hold yourself hostage in feeling bad. Therefore, if life sucks as you know it, you feel sucky. And if life's going great, you feel great. We tend to be overly action-oriented. When something's broke, we set up an action plan to fix it. And it takes a lot of juggling people, places, and things to keep all the areas of your life going well at the same time, allowing you to feel happy. Living from this mindset keeps you running in circles like a hamster on a wheel. Something you probably weren't taught is, your happiness is determined by the quality of the thoughts you think, not the physical circumstances we call reality. You know, blame is so ubiquitous within our culture that we've come to believe that our problems are someone else's fault. And it's sometimes easier to blame someone else or something for our unpleasant circumstances. But when we do this, we feel helpless and at the mercy of someone or something outside of ourselves. And that idea does not reflect who we really are and what we really know to be true. As already noted, you are the creator of your own reality. So if you were to flip your mindset to acknowledging how you have a co-creative role to play in everything that's not to your liking, you then have the power to change it. Think of it this way. If you have the power to create it, you also have the power to uncreate it. To create or uncreate anything, your thinking and feelings have to be congruent with what you desire. Begin to imagine, visualize, and delight in the thinking that aligns you to what you desire. Be certain you are feeling how it feels to have the fulfillment of your desire. And when you can feel good without the actual physical manifestation, ironically, it will manifest. But the greatest benefit knowing this is that you are no longer held captive to someone or something controlling how you feel. Your mother cannot make you feel unhappy. It's your attention or thinking to the things she's doing that are making you feel unhappy. Your boss cannot make you feel frustrated. It's how you think about your boss that is causing you to feel frustrated. It's not the traffic that's got you feeling aggravated. It's actually how you're thinking about the traffic that's creating the feelings of aggravation. How you feel is within your control, and all feelings originate from within. Feeling happy is an internal job. It was never intended for someone or something to fulfill your happiness. So when you let people or things determine how you feel, you are at the effect of these people or things, which requires that they change before you can feel good. That's the reason you feel helpless, because you're giving them control over the circumstances. So take back the control of how you feel by owning the creative role you play in your life. Myth number 4, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. Science has shown that all we are is changing. We are made up of energy, electrical impulses. And energy is constantly moving. It never stands still. It's never stagnant. Thus, it's not possible to not be changing. Just because science says we are always changing is little comfort to you if you're trying to change a behavior or habit without any sustainable success. Let's say you've tried to lose weight a gazillion times but haven't been able to keep it off. Or let's say you're chronically late for functions and no matter how many alarms you set to remind yourself of the time, you still end up being late. Or let's say each new romantic partner that appears to be the one turns out to be a copy of the last loser. At a certain point, it's a common misconception to believe that you just can't change because if you could change, you would have by now. Because you've given it your best efforts so many times already. And based on your track record, it's easy to come to that conclusion. But let me infuse a new way of looking at things. Each moment is brand new. With its newness comes the opportunity to create something fresh. So, when you reach each new moment, you have the choice to create something brand new. Or, what you often do without realizing it, you reach into your past and drag an old thing forward into this brand new moment. And here's the kicker. When you've been doing something you wish you weren't doing for a while, and you've spent a ton of time thinking on this thing you don't want to occur, you've created an energetic momentum that seems to have taken on a life of its own. And the momentum of what you've been doing, that thing that you don't want, actually has the laws of the universe perpetuating that thing you don't want. So even though each moment provides you with a fresh space for you to choose something different, it's not so easy to make a new choice because the momentum of that unwanted thing is still in motion, making it difficult to move in the new direction you desire. So it's easy to think you're not really changing. But what's actually occurring is that you're unconsciously choosing the same unwanted thing you had in the past because this momentum thing gets in the way of you having the complete freedom to choose something new without its interference. If you've been experiencing the roller coaster ups and downs, and you find you're not accomplishing what you truly desire in specific areas of your life, it's important to let the negative momentum slow down before focusing on the new solution. And this can only occur by not adding additional thoughts to this thing you don't want. And as soon as you stop adding fuel to the fire, the momentum will come to an end, and then you can make a fresh new choice. Myth number 5, we have lessons to learn. If you've ever gone through a particularly rough time and then came through it with new awareness and perhaps an epiphany or two, you may have thought to yourself that this circumstance must have occurred because you were meant to learn a lesson. But keep in mind that you create your own reality, and you are powerful in ways that you may not even yet be aware. When what is actually taking place on the unseen level is brought into the equation, the concept of life lessons loses its validity. Hopefully, you'll begin to see life through a broader lens and not necessarily in terms of life lessons as you consider the next concepts. Many of us grew up in less than ideal home environments, and the common idea is to blame parents for not meeting our childhood needs in a way that was optimal for our development. But something we neglected to consider, because we weren't aware of it, is that all adversity has its place in our life, and perhaps even a part of our life's purpose. Whenever we experience what we do not want, vibrationally we send off a corresponding vibration of what we prefer. This means that universal forces are totally in sync with what we desire in our life, even if we don't actually know what it is. Cool, isn't it? Let's play with a hypothetical example. Let's say as a child, your father was hypercritical of most everything you did, and you felt you could never live up to his expectations. And let's say this caused you to feel unimportant and misunderstood. At the very moment you felt unimportant and misunderstood, you sent off a vibrational broadcast, letting the universe know that what you actually preferred was to feel important and understood. Then, every time your father repeated this hypercritical behavior, it increased your feelings of unimportance and not being understood, thus shooting off another vibrational broadcast of preferring to feel important and feel understood. Let's say this pattern repeated over a number of years, causing countless broadcasts of your preferences to be received by universal forces. You may have grown up feeling contempt for your father, blaming him for an unhappy childhood, for which later also negatively impacted relationships with men. Most anyone would certainly be sympathetic for the father-child relationship you experienced. But what is rarely considered is the huge stockpile of what you broadcast into the universe about what you had been preferring for all of those years. Meanwhile, way outside of your conscious awareness, you had been developing the characteristics of a caring adult who made all those around you feel important and completely understood. You didn't do it necessarily consciously, but yet it happened. Then, many years down the road, you have this epiphany of how the very thing your father did to you in a negative way, you became in the positive. In other words, the very essence of that which you felt your father robbed you of, you became. This illustrates what we have not been taught to look for. What we often see as a horrible thing is the very material from which a beautiful thing was created. Without the negative childhood experiences, the positively preferred desires would not have been repeatedly broadcast into the universe, and completely outside of your awareness as you grew up, the universe had been providing all the raw materials necessary for you to develop into the individual you have now become, sensitive to others' need for importance and understanding. There are so many stories of people that encounter great difficulty in their lives only to land on the other side with a powerful message or a powerful life's purpose. Adversity is only adversity when viewed from within the pain. But when you shift your mindset to view all adversity as the seed from which a positive preference is born, you begin to look for the seed to grow into something beautiful. Myth number 6. Everything you need to know, you learned in kindergarten. Oh, how I wish it were true that everything we needed to know, we learned in kindergarten. But most of us have figured out that our schooling didn't cover the most important lessons for living an extraordinary, satisfying life. So what our educational system didn't provide, hopefully our parents or family were able to fill in. But as mentioned in the introduction, our well-meaning loved ones usually perpetrated the same misinformation they had been taught. The good news, as also mentioned in the introduction, is that you were born with an internal guidance system. What is that, you may wonder? Here is the best way I can explain it. Remember the childhood game called Hot or Cold? The adults would select an object for you to find within the room. Then you would head in any direction, and the adults would let you know if you were getting closer or farther away from the selected object by saying cooler, cold, warmer, or hot. Then, based on their feedback, you'd either change directions completely or continue in the same direction. And the adults will continue their feedback to you until you reach the selected object. Well, our internal guidance works in a very similar way. When your thinking is moving in a direction that will take you toward the things you desire, you get a positive feeling. And when your thinking is moving towards something you don't want, you get a negative feeling. This explanation is very basic, but it gives you the general idea. Paying attention to how you feel is vital to the process of interpreting the signals being presented by your internal guidance system. Now, you may have been taught not to pay attention to your feelings, in which case you may have unknowingly learned to tune out your internal guidance system. It would be similar to your car's GPS system verbally giving you directions, but you're ignoring it because you're so busy talking to the kids in the back seat. It doesn't mean your GPS isn't doing its job. It means you're not paying attention to the instructions being provided. Even if no one taught you that you have an internal guidance system, the fact that you can feel either positive or negative emotions is the evidence your internal guidance system is working. You've been using it since the day you were born, although you may not be aware of how to decode its messages. You might recall having an experience of walking into a room and sensing the vibe, and instantaneously having a gut feeling of tension. What you may not have known when this occurred is that you were literally interpreting the feelings of those in the room. You probably experienced this much more than you were actually taking note of, but every one of us experiences this kind of thing. If you were never taught that your feelings are actually guidance, providing specific messages to you and for you, you have unknowingly disregarded the most significant indicators that were intended to direct you toward an extraordinary life. Think how incredible your life would be if you were to know how to use your internal guidance system to navigate through life on a moment-by-moment basis. Actually, that's exactly what you intended to do before entering this physical existence. Myth number 7. If I can do it, so can you. If ever there was an untrue statement about achieving success, this is the one, in my not so humble opinion. We've all heard it a million times by well-meaning individuals who struggle to make something happen, and then after blah, 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 they finally achieve success. Okay, before you judge me for mocking, please hear me out. I've been studying success strategies in both business and professional development for over 30 years. I've been exposed to literally thousands of successful people that have accomplished great things. And it astounds me when someone says, if I can do this, so can you, while selling their system, which they discovered to achieve their success. Obviously, they did succeed in figuring out XYZ, and they should be proud of their accomplishment. However, it's way too oversimplified to suggest that just because they followed a specific sequence of steps to get their success, that if you follow the same steps, you'll get the same results. Personally, I've been the guinea pig of many of these systems, and I have failed at most of them. And remember, I'm a straight-A student, so I know how to read and precisely follow directions. My experience has netted me less than stellar results after spending untold amounts of money. I love Tony Robbins, and it was listening to his Personal Power cassettes over and over that was the real turning point in my life. To date, I've attended 11 Tony Robbins events, a number of which I attended as a staff member after receiving intense training by his Cracker Jack trainers. After being deeply entrenched in Tony's processes for personal change, I made huge changes in my life. However, over time, I noticed how the changes did not seem to stick and the old negative patterns returned. This was a huge disappointment for me. But it drove me to ask the deeper questions around how some people got lasting results and others didn't. I took Tony's concept that success leaves clues and searched for those clues. Eventually, I got my answers, and the answers were found within the mind. I realized it wasn't that the steps provided in the system were faulty. It was that there were invisible steps left out of the system. Those invisible steps were not purposely left out. The system creator was simply unaware of how their thoughts and beliefs were an integral piece in their success. And if the purchaser of the system didn't have similar thoughts and beliefs while following the prescribed steps, they wouldn't get the same successful result. So, that's why you'll never hear me claim, if I can do it, so can you. It's not a true statement because we don't know the specific beliefs in the minds of these well-meaning, successful people. And it's an unfair assumption to think you can follow the same steps without any consideration for the thoughts and beliefs necessary to support the result. People who make this claim are making the correlation between the actions they took and their results, minus the invisible piece of the equation. And this answers the question as to why some people get the expected outcome and others don't. The most essential factor involved in any success strategy is the thinking and feelings occurring while taking the action steps. Because as mentioned earlier in other myths, your thoughts produce feelings, and your feelings determine your broadcast signal into the universe. Thus, I've made it a practice in my life to get my thinking lined up with the outcome I'm targeting before launching into action steps.